One thing you may have learned about me, and maybe you have not learned, and after today you will no longer be able to say that. Typically, on Mother's Day, I do not preach a Mother's Day sermon. And I will tell you one of my reasons for that. How many of you mothers out there want to go home after learning about the Proverbs 31 woman, realizing I'm having trouble just getting dinner on the table, getting the kids to school, and taking care of the laundry, and now you're telling me I have to do all this other? I see, I'm not wanting to burden us, although I'm not discounting Scripture. It's good for us. But what I tend to do is not do those specific sermons like that. So Mother's Day, Father's Day. Now, when you come on Easter, you're going to get a resurrection story. When you come at Christmas, you're going to get a story about the birth of Jesus, all right? But those are stories that affect all of us. And today is no different than what I would normally do. I'm going to bring to you a message out of two Old Testament from the two Old Testament prophets, Amos and Isaiah. And we're going to turn there. So if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Amos and chapter 5. Amos was a prophet in the northern kingdom. At this time, just a little historical perspective, at this time, the nation of Israel really was two nations. Okay, you had the northern kingdom, which was called Israel. You had the southern kingdom, which was called Judah, and they were not one united nation at this time. This is about 700 to 750 years before Christ. Amos was ministering in the northern region of Israel. Isaiah was ministering to the nation of Judah in the south. They're not exactly contemporaries. They weren't. These two books were written about 50 years apart, about 700 to 750 years before Christ. But God had a very similar message to both kingdoms because they were all His people. And He wanted to make sure they all got the same message. So we're going to look at what God says to these two nations, which are all God's people. It says in Amos chapter 5, verses 21 through 23, I hate, now this is a quote, it's in quotations in my Bible, this is God speaking, I hate, I despise your religious festivals. Your assemblies are a stench to me. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I will have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps. Now, I believe that if I got that message, that would be a very discouraging message. God is saying, look, you're going through all this stuff, you're doing all these things, and I don't like any of it. Imagine if we got the message today. God said, look, your guitar playing, your piano playing, your drumming, your singing, your voices, it's offensive to my ears, and I don't like it. I don't want to hear it anymore. What if He said, you know, the voices of you sitting standing out here in the congregation, I don't like it. It's not pleasing to me. Don't do it any longer. I don't want to hear it. That would be very discouraging to me. If He said, look, when you bring your tithe and put it in the plate, it doesn't honor me a bit, so don't even bother. The service that you give to one another, the service that you give to the church, it's ugly. Don't even do it. Can you imagine getting that message? And it's strange because God is talking about the festivals, these feasts, these holy days, these days at the temple, that that this Jewish religion called for, prescribed by the book of Leviticus. All these observances, the elaborate rituals, the frequent and costly sacrifices, they were all prescribed by God in the Scriptures. So here he is saying, look, all these things I told you to do, I can't stand them any longer. I don't understand. It was your idea, God. Why are you so offended by it now? And I think we can learn why God found it to be so offensive. Even though prescribed by Scripture, there's found no stronger criticism of a merely ritual and ceremonial religiousness than in Scripture itself. This is just one of the many declarations that the true living God has made that He will not accept any honor which may be offered in place of the humility of heart. What He was saying here is this. All of these things that I've told you to honor, that I told you to respect, that I told you to remember, all these things I told you to sacrifice, it's lost its meaning. Now you're just going through the motions. I believe God may have even been thinking, you don't even think about me in it. Now we can look back at those guys and gals 25, almost 3,000 years ago and go, shame on them. What were they thinking? Going to church and not even thinking about God? Oh my goodness. Folks, there are people, maybe even people in this room today that have come to church because it's Sunday. And that's the only reason they came to church, because that's what you're supposed to do on Sunday. There may be people all across this world and maybe even in this church who came and said, you know, I don't even think about the words to the songs. I just read off the screen. Thank you. I just read off the screen and I just sing the words that are there and I don't even think about the song. Without prompting, can you sing one of the songs we sang back at the first part of the service? You probably could. You go, oh my gosh, what was it? What was the name of that? There's something that God is disgusted by, the mindless going through the ritualistic observance without even thinking about why we're doing that stuff. It disgusts Him. I despise your religious festivals. Your assemblies are a stench to me. Sacred assemblies are displeasing to Him. The prophet Amos, in this case, he's inspired to declare that God hates and despises the gatherings of His own people when He told them to gather together. Solemn festivals, they're equally as repulsive. And even though they were prescribed by God, and they were designed to teach the people to remember God's great mercies, His great deliverance, but yet their lackadaisical attitude toward all of that has become a displeasure to God. Even the offerings, the burnt offerings, the meat offerings, the peace offerings that were all prescribed and instructed to give to God, even those didn't really bring Him honor. Some of them were even not even bringing the best that they had. All right. Some of them were bringing the best they had out of strictly duty. Now, it's good to fill the church, and it's good to get people to feel the need to be at church, because it is a need that we have, okay? But if that's all it is, and it's just coming to church because I want to see, you know, because I need my Agnes hug, or because if that's it, God bless you, Agnes, and I love you, but if that's the only reason I come to church, I'm wrong. I ought to be coming to church to worship God, to lift Him up, to sing His praises. A hug from Agnes is just bonus. It was God's idea to have all these celebrations, these ceremonies. So why does he hate them so much? Folks, it's not the festival's fault. It's not the sacrifice's fault. It's not the ceremony's fault. It's not the music's fault that God's displeased. And it's not because they in themselves are inappropriate. It's because they're not expressive of sincere worship. They're not expressive of sincere gratitude, of sincere confidence and love. God says, elsewhere he says, these people, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Oh, that displeases God so much. As if to say, you're talking out of both sides of your mouth at the same time. I love you, God. I love you, God. I can't stand this person. I hate that person, but I love you, God. I love you, God. I love you, God. Time out while I go over here and enjoy myself in this little pleasure, and I'll be back to you. I'm going to ask for forgiveness when I come back, because what I'm about to do is not cool with you, and I know that, but I know you're loving God, and I'll come back. Just time out. Come on, y'all are looking at me like I have, oh, what in the world is my preacher talking about? You know what I'm talking about. Jesus himself said that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. One of the problems is the very men who were so meticulous in these ceremonies and making sure that everything was just right and all in order. There's value in having order. But order so meticulously done that there's no room for God to operate in the order of things is wrong. These men who were so meticulous in the ceremonies and the sacrifices, the priests in particular, they were tampering with idolatry from the surrounding peoples that were coming in. And they were mixing stuff with their religion. And they were mixing the world with the religion. And it was tainting. It was even in their best sacrifice was tainted because it was defiled. Their thoughts were that, well, if I just go through these motions, if I just do these things, if I just go through the sacrifice, we're doing what God said. He said, bring the animal. He said, kill the animal. Put it on the altar. Burn it up. I go through that. God ought to be happy with that. Folks, God is not happy with the outward expression of anything. He's happy with what's on the inside. And the truth is, what's on the inside will come out. What's on the inside will come out. And that's what pleases God. Scripture tells us, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So we need to go to church. And I'm preaching to you, but you know, y'all are here, so good job. Everybody gets a round of applause. You guys did great. Y'all are here. But just going to church is not pleasing to God. Just being here in the building is not what pleases God. It's the desire to know Him, the desire to honor Him, the craving to spend time with God, the God of all creation. That's what He loves. That's what He loves. I've given the example many times. Daddy coming home from work, seeing his children at the door, seeing them run out to him. Daddy's home! Daddy's home! Running with their arms upstretched, ready for Dad to pick them up. That makes a parent just goofy, silly, giddy. Does it not? Now, if I come home and my kids don't want to do that, I can make them do it. Get over here and give me a hug. And they're going to come and they're going to give me a hug. But that's not the same kind of hug. I'd much rather have the first kind of hug. Matter of fact, really, if they're not into that, I really don't want the hug. I'll wait until I get a real hug. That's the way God is with us. He wants us to desire to love on Him. to receive the love that He has for us too. These people that we're talking about in the Old Testament, they weren't into that anymore. They were being obedient to do the things, but it was a matter of the heart. Today, just doing the things is not what honors God. It's the matter of the heart. The heart will lead us to do the things that pleases God because it starts at the heart. We can get so mechanical in our religiousness that we leave God completely out of it. I'm sure that there are churches in this nation. You may not even have to go very far. I'm not thinking of any place in particular. I'm sure there are churches where the presence of God is not even there. I am confident that this is not one of them. But I'm also not completely sure that everybody in this church is on that wagon. And my desire, and I believe God's desire, is that we would all get there. Folks, you don't have to be happy and joyous to worship God. You can be heartbroken and in tears and in pain and agony and worship the God Almighty. Look at Paul. He says, I've learned to be content in all my circumstances. Where did he say that? Where was Paul when he wrote that? Any idea? He was in prison. I've learned to be content in all my circumstances. He was worshiping God from prison. The truth is, he was chained to a Roman soldier, so he had a captive audience. I'm sure they were taking turns being chained to Paul, and he was preaching to everybody he could get around. It was a great opportunity. God had a purpose in it. God has a purpose. He can accomplish so much if we just reach out to Him and say, God, here I am. I need You. I want You. I need You right now. He's there. And He tells us, I've never left You. I'm always here. Just been waiting for You to want to hug me. God hates ceremonial religion, empty rituals. He says that I despise your feast days. I'll not even smell in your solemn assemblies. The same dislike of ceremonial observances of the insincere Israelites, which God here expresses. He afterward told Isaiah, also known as Isaiah, or in Spanish, Isaiah, to declare to the Jews in the south, and we're going to look at that in Isaiah chapter 1. And I'm almost done. I'm not going to be long this morning. Isaiah chapter 1, the first 10 verses. Now remember, this is the same God speaking to a different prophet in a different portion of His people, okay, the southern kingdom. And He says this, the multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to Me, says the Lord? I have more than enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of the fattened animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and the lamb and goats. Keep in mind, it was God who told them to do this, right? Okay. When you come to appear before Me, who has asked this of you, this trampling of My courts? Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to Me. New moons, Sabbaths, in convocations, I cannot bear your worthless assemblies. Your new moon feasts and your appointed festivals, I hate with all my being. They have become a burden to Me, and I am weary of them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I hide my eyes from You. Oof. Even when you offer many prayers, I'm not listening. Your hands are full of blood. Folks, this is a, again, beyond discouraging. When the people get this message, folks, the word is still good for teaching. It's profitable for us today, right? So what do we learn from this? The truth is that God wants us to not come out of duty, to not come out of habit, to not come and to do all these things out of guilt or obligation. He simply wants us to come and to love on Him the way He loved on us. That's what He wants from us. How do we do that? We come and we sing our very best to God. Whether I like the words on the song or not, if I sing it from genuineness of heart, God loves it. He wants me to come and He wants me to bring the sacrifice of praise. He wants me to come and to bring the tithe into the storehouse. He wants me to come and to be a part of what's going on here in the ministries of this church. He wants me to come and be a part of all that. But He wants me to desire that, not just do it because I'm supposed to do it. And if we would do that, oh, folks. Oh. I read one commentator, he writes this. The singing of their songs was nothing more to God than a wearisome round which was brought to an end. You know what a round is? Row, row, row your boat gently down. And while we do that, somebody else starts again. Row, row, row your boat. Row, row. And it just goes on and on. There's no end to it. It just goes on until people get tired of singing, right? That's kind of what this commentator is saying, that this worship, this ceremonialism, this religiousness was like to God. It's like a worrisome round. It's like, come on, will it ever end? It doesn't even mean anything. It's just... Nothing seems more repulsive to the heart of God than empty ceremony in religion. No sacrifices are acceptable to God, however costly they may be, unless the offer is our very heart. If we offer whatever sacrifice we bring, whether it's the sacrifice of praise, it's an offering, our tithe, What does God say? What does the Bible say about giving cheerfully? What does it say about it? He loves a cheerful giver. When it talks about giving, it's the person that comes and says, God, I'm so blessed. You've blessed me so much. It's my honor and privilege to give back to you right here. God loves that. Somebody that says, well, if I don't write this check, my wife's going to be upset with me. So here we are. Completely different opposites, right? God, I don't know what else to say except this. God wants us to love on Him with sincerity of heart the way He sincerely loved on us. How much did He do that? How did He do that? Oh, He gave His very self. He sent His only Son for you and for me. That's love. Matter of fact, the Bible says, greater love has no man than he that laid down his life for his friend. We sang a song, I am a friend of God. I wonder, does God always call me His friend? Am I always in a close friendship with God? These people, they were saying, as if they were saying, I'm a friend of God, I'm a friend of God. And God was saying, like, we ain't friends right now. This, what you're doing is detestable to me. It makes me sick. I don't like it. I want us to be friends, though. Let's get back to the friendship. That's what He wants from you and from me. It's from the heart. So my prayer for us today is this. Let's keep doing church. But let's not do church just because it's church. Let's come and be honest. Let's come and let it be a genuine expression of our love for God, for the gift that He gave us through Jesus Christ. And let's honor Him genuinely, truthfully, honestly. And we don't have to be happy when we do that. Whatever life circumstance we find ourselves in, we can still worship in truthfulness. And sometimes worship looks like tears and coming and saying, God, I'm so disappointed. I'm so heartbroken. And I recognize that You are the God of all things. And You are God in this situation, and that You can still work something great from this. I just don't see it right now, and I want You to show me. That's still worship, because it's genuineness of heart. Coming to God and saying, I recognize that You're the God, and I need You now. I need You now. Or we can come when things are great. Woohoo, I got a grand new grandbaby. I'm excited. Everything's great and everything's healthy and no sickness in the house. We can come and we can just say, God, thank you. What a blessing. Because I know that that may not last, because sickness is sickness and it comes and it rains on the, what does it say? It rains on the righteous and on the wicked. And I know that. But right now, everything is good. And I just want to say, thank you, God. I consider it a blessing from you. See, completely different opposites, but we can honor God in everything. All circumstances. So no matter where you find yourself today, all God wants from you is your heart. He wants you to come to Him in genuineness and honesty and love on Him the way He loves on you. Father in heaven, help us today. Help us just to be real with you. Lord, the truth is, just like these people of old, they couldn't deceive you because you knew their heart. Lord, remind us today that we can't deceive you either. We can't fake it until we make it. You know our heart. So let us just be honest with you about what's on our heart. You already know it. And let us recognize that you are God, that you will not leave us, you will not forsake us, you will not leave us orphans. You are with us, and you love us, and may we honor you in all circumstances, good, bad, or the ugly. Father, we do love you. Help us to show it. In Jesus' name. Amen.